Well, hey, 1015, I'm Chuck Mingo. What's going on? How you guys doing? Good. Good. Well, hey, let me start by saying, if you weren't here last week, you're probably looking at the video and saying, what's up with all the clay? What's that about? And if you're like me, you're just glad that Gumby at least had some representation up there. You know, he had different hair color, different skin color, but Gumby was in the house. So, but the clay really goes back to this series that we're in called Morph, where we are talking about change. And last week, Brian talked about this illustration that we find in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, where God describes his relationship to us very much like the relationship of a potter to clay. And so all of us last week got balls of clay, kind of like the one I have in my hand here. And in the midst of the message, there was just this creativity in our community going on. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the pieces of art that you saw on the screen were created by people in the midst of the weekend services last week. So for those people, I hope they got some pieces of the message as well, but they definitely walked out with some creative pieces. And but we're just continuing to think about the fact that, you know, God really wants us to be about change. And so this week is really answering the question, why? Why change? What is it that change brings to us that could be beneficial in our lives? And what I want to tell you is there was an experience that happened with me last weekend as I was up in the balcony right there on the second floor working with this clay. And a lot of what I'm going to say this morning changed significantly based on that, because there were just a couple impressions that I had that really resonated with me, and I want to share them with you today. So before we do that, I ask that you would just pray with me now. God, I thank you that, like the song that we open with, you are the God of all things new. And I just recognize that you're doing new things in me all the time, giving me new thoughts, giving me new impressions, new ideas of who you are. And God, I just ask that in the midst of the service this morning, that you would give a new thought, a new impression, a new image of who you are to everybody in here. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So why change? What is the benefit of change? And, you know, as I think about my year in 2006, there were some significant changes that took place. We moved, you know, I got a different role in the job that I was in. There was a lot of change. We had some friends that moved out of town. We had other friends who kind of grew in the relationship. And there was just tons and tons of change. And as I thought about what has that change really got for me, there are a ton of reasons. But I really want to focus on three things, three benefits that I see as I embrace change. And the first is this: change stops mistakes from becoming destructive patterns in my life. Change stops mistakes from becoming destructive patterns in my life. As I said, I moved, my wife and I bought our first house. And so 2006 for me was kind of the adventures in home ownership. So I learned a lot about that experience that before I didn't really appreciate. Like, for instance, fall used to be my favorite season. Oh, man, I mean, I would love it. Live downtown, we'd go out, we'd go to the park, all the leaves would be falling. It was a beautiful thing. But let me tell you, when you live on a tree-lined street, fall is not your friend. Fall is not your friend. Or another one for me is just recognizing every time I go to Lowe's, I probably need to pick up some light bulbs, because if it hasn't happened yet, there will be a light bulb that goes out this week in my house. And so we've been figuring out all the light bulbs we need and kind of having that whole experience. But there's one that really just is a kicker for me. And this is something I learned in the fall as well. And it's this: if you don't act, the spider crickets will win. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They look like half spider, half cricket. Some people have them. And I think all of your spigots, as I call them, are in my basement in the fall right now. So there's just these experiences. And what am I saying? There's some maintenance and upkeep that you just have to stay on top of when you own a home, or else it will catch up to you. And as I think about this idea of change stopping negative patterns in my life from being established, the same is true in my life. There's some maintenance and upkeep of my mind, my body, and my spirit that I need to stay on top of. And if I'm honest, in 2006, I lost ground in a couple of those key areas. I really lost ground on just taking care of my body and exercising regularly. That was something that I had worked really hard to establish as a discipline in years past, only to really fall off the wagon in 2006. Really, really struggled with that. Another one for me was just spending time praying, maybe meditating and reading, and doing that outside of this place to kind of just connect with God. And that was another one that for me kind of fell off the pattern. And here's what else I noticed. I noticed that whenever stress came or whenever a challenge came, those were the first two things to go. I filled my time with trying to figure out the problems or work through something else. Those were the first things to go. And it reminds me of a story a friend of mine told me. He played basketball for Xavier University. And when he played, he talked about how at practice, they would run all the time. It seemed like that was what they did more than anything else. They would run, just trying to get conditioning. And, you know, after he finished his playing days, he actually went and coached. And he had an opportunity to sit down with one of his old coaches and say, hey, listen, when we played, you know, there were so many things that were important. It was important that we could execute our plays. It was important that we knew those types of things, that we practiced certain game time situations. But why was it that we spent so much time running? And his coach, the answer that his coach gave him really stuck with me. His coach said, the reason that I had you run so much is because fatigue makes a coward of us all. Fatigue makes a coward of us all. What was he saying? He's saying you could be the best player in the world, but if you can't breathe in the fourth quarter because you're winded, you're going to make more mistakes. That's when your conditioning has to kick in. And as I think about taking care of my body and taking care of my spirit, that's conditioning for me. And if I don't have those things in place, then stress, fatigue, whatever it is, will make a coward out of me. But what's the solution? Well, the solution for me has been just small change. So you want to call them resolutions, whatever, but there's two choices that I've made in 2007 as I'm going into it. And the first is I'm going to try to play basketball 3 times a week because I love playing basketball. Now, in saying that, there's a choice that I'm not making, or there's a choice of something that I'm choosing not to do. And it's this. I'm not going to try to get on the treadmill for 30 minutes 3 times a week. Why? Because I don't like being on the treadmill for 30 minutes 3 times a week. But here's what's interesting. I play ball 6 a.m. in the morning at one of the YMCAs around here. And all of a sudden, I find myself after playing basketball making it to the treadmill to cool down for 25 to 30 minutes. Kind of interesting how that happens. But it's because I chose to make a small change to say, I need to make this something I can do consistently. It needs to be a priority. I'm going to just get up and do it. The other thing, as I said, is just spending time praying and meditating and thinking about God. And one of the choices that I made was to find something that I could do in 5 minutes or less every morning that helps me connect with God. Now, I know what you're saying. You're like, all right, God, you're up here teaching. I would think, you know, 5 minutes is probably like beginner stuff. I think you'd be doing a little bit more than that. You got to understand, I wasn't doing anything regularly, right? So one of the things I did, I just picked up this book. I think we have an image of it. Streams in the Desert, 366 devotional readings. These take me less than 5 minutes, maybe sometimes 5 to 10 minutes a day, but it's something I can do consistently. And the point that I'm getting to is I want to make sure that I make change now so that where I am doesn't become destructive patterns in my life. That's really what I'm going after. I'm just trying to make small changes that can have an impact on my life because I don't want destructive patterns to be established. And this is something that we find in the Bible. As a matter of fact, there's this great illustration that we find of this. It's in a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul. And he was a guy who followed God and he wrote letters to a lot of the early churches. And one of the things he says in one of those letters, which he wrote to a new church in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, is this. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what he's talking about here is actually he's doing a little bit of wordplay. He's saying, don't be conformed. And that word conformed is kind of changing the outline of a thing, but it's not really true holistic change. He's saying, don't be conformed and just try to change the outline. But what he's saying is be transformed. That's the word metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think it's interesting because what he's saying is you have a choice. You can continue to allow the patterns of this world to conform you, or you can be changed from the inside out and transform. And I've just been thinking about, okay, so what are some of the things that the world tries to drive us to conforming? What's advertising telling us? What's the media saying? And there's a couple of patterns that I see kind of consistently that if I'm not careful, I can be conformed to. One of them is this. Tell me if you've heard this through advertising. Do what feels right. How many people think that's a message that kind of is pretty consistently shared in some of the advertising that you look at? Do what feels right. That's a pattern. And what I'm recognizing is that's a negative pattern because what feels right may not be what is right. And that's a pattern that I need to make sure I'm not being conformed to, but that through the renewing of my mind, by taking time to really think through that, I'm being transformed. Another one is this, the whole try harder pattern. How many people hear that message coming through? Try harder. If there's something that you don't have, you need to work harder. If there's something that happened in your life, it probably happened because you didn't work hard enough to avoid it. And yes, there is a place for hard work, but there's also a place where you say, hey, I need help beyond me. I can't do this on my own. And so for many of us, this whole idea of change, this whole idea of being transformed is something that we really need to think about this year, because there may be some patterns that are being established and we need to change. We need to move in a different direction so that those patterns don't become established. So let me just camp out on this one really quickly, because you might say, okay, I hear you talking about this reading and, you know, this whole praying and meditation thing. And, you know, I'm not really sure why that's so important. Well, let me tell you this. If you want to be a person about growth, you need to do something that you've never done before. There needs to be a change. And for me, I just recognize that if I think I can get all my spiritual fix in this hour and 15 minutes at Crossroads, I'm fooling myself. At some point, you need to go outside of that and you need to come to a place where you're growing in other ways. And that's what I want to be about, because I don't want those patterns to be established. Now, I told you that my wife and I used to live downtown, and when we did, one of the places we used to love to go was Eden Park, and particularly around the reflection pool there. How many people have been to that reflection pool? A lot of people. I got to tell you, on a spring, summer day in Cincinnati, I don't think there's many places more beautiful than that. It's just beautiful there. But because we went so often, we also were there sometimes when the fountain was off. And when the fountain was off, it was because they were letting the water drain and they were cleaning it. And all you had to do was, when you were walking around, just go and look over the side, and you would realize how important it was that they cleaned that thing. I mean, you had all kinds of stuff growing in there, all kinds of bacteria and other things that, left untouched, if they didn't do that, would accumulate over time and it would have taken away from the beauty of that place. And you know what? In our lives, these negative patterns are the same thing. There's stuff that can accumulate if we're not careful and if we're not open to changing. Some of us, it may be patterns of thinking. Maybe you're a person who just has a struggle with pride. You're very prideful and arrogant in your thinking. I've been there. Or maybe you're a person who has self-doubt and you struggle with that. Or maybe you tend to operate your life out of fear, maybe based on an experience that happened to you in life. Those patterns, left unchecked, will accumulate gunk in our lives. For some of us, it may be patterns of behavior. Maybe you're a person that, when you get into a verbal spar, you don't have a problem saying the most hurtful thing you can think of to someone else. And those patterns are accumulating, and there's a collateral damage that happens because of conversations that you had. Don't know what it is for you, but what I know is, at some point, change is a way to stop those mistakes from becoming destructive patterns. And so that's what I want. That's what I want, and that's one of the benefits of change. Now, over the holiday break, got a chance to kind of kick back a little bit, take some time off. And one of the things that I did was spent time catching up on all the movies that I haven't seen yet. So I went to the theater and saw a couple movies, but also I had a list of DVDs that I really wanted to check out. And right at the top of that list was the movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg. Anybody see that? Great movie. Great movie. You can clap if you want to. That was a great movie. The other reason that you can clap is, let me just be very transparent and say, I'm an Eagles fan, so you can clap at anything Eagles you want. And yes, I am a little bit bitter. Somebody just said good game last night. Yeah, I'm a little bit bitter, but I promise you, I'm not going to let that influence what I say today. You know, I'm going to just let that go. Because the other thing is, how many people are Bengals fans in here, right? Yeah? Yeah, you're still bitter too. I know you are. I know you are. So listen, let's just take this next opportunity to hold hands and let the healing begin together. Let's just be with each other on this one, all right? But Invincible was one of the movies I wanted to see. It's a real life story of a guy who was a bartender in South Philadelphia. And what had happened was, the Eagles got a new coach, and to try to build goodwill in the city, he called for open tryouts and said, hey, anybody who thinks they can make the team, come on out. We're going to have open tryouts, and really not expecting to get anybody that could actually make the team. But guys came out. But this guy, Vince Papale, this bartender from South Philly who hadn't had any college ball experience, actually wound up getting invited to training camp. And it's a really cool story. The city kind of rallied around him. And it's really a great illustration of one of the other benefits that change can bring to our lives. So we're going to take a look at a clip from that now, and then we'll talk about it. That scene. I love that scene. Hey, useless trivia for you. That's actually my high school football field that they filmed that on. Yeah. And I would love to tell you about my own experiences of running that gridiron and scoring touchdowns and all that, but yeah, they'd all be lies because I didn't play football in high school. But but I tell you what, I love that scene because here's a guy, and again, just to put it in perspective, 30 years old, I think, when he tried out for the team, well past any playing prime. And the fact that he got invited to training camp was really enough. He could have just rested on his laurels. I mean, he really didn't expect to make the team, as you can tell. But here's a guy who says, you know what? I think I can do more. I think I can perform better. And he was willing to make changes, even though it was sacrificial changes, to get to a place where he would be able to perform well. And see, that's one of the other benefits we get with change, is change reminds us of the main thing. How many people have heard the phrase, keep the main thing the main thing? Well, guess what? Growth in our lives is the main thing. And oftentimes when change comes, it's uncomfortable, it challenges us, but change is a catalyst for growth. And if we're honest, the temptation, I know I fall prey to it myself, is not to make growth the main thing, but to make comfort the main thing. We make comfort the main thing. I mean, we all want to grow. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we're all open to growth as long as it doesn't mean I have to sacrifice, you fill in the blank. Sometimes we get to a place where we really want to grow. We want that. But when we recognize that it becomes uncomfortable, it's easy to back away from it and say, well, maybe not now. We make comfort the main thing. But yet in the Bible, it's so clear that God wants us to lean into those uncomfortable areas because those are the areas that really are catalysts for growth in our life. There's another letter that was written to a new church, and this time it's in the book of James. And we find words in the book of James that at face value, you read them and you're like, okay, great, yeah, it's another Bible verse we're showing up on the screen. But I want you to really think about these words because I think if you do, you'll recognize that what he's saying is absolutely crazy talk. Let's take a look at it. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Yeah, we all can give a head nod to that back end, you know? I mean, who doesn't want to be mature and maybe have perseverance as they get more mature in life? I mean, we all want that, but here's what's crazy. What he's saying is consider it pure joy when you go through trials. Think about the last trial you had in your life, last point of difficulty. Do the words pure joy kind of capture that experience? Right, they don't for me either. So what is he saying? What he's saying is if in fact you want maturity, if in fact you want growth, if in fact you want perseverance, you want strength, it comes through your trials. And oftentimes, change is a point in our life that begins a place of challenge. It begins a place of discomfort. And what he's saying is, lean in on that, because that's the place where growth begins. See, change reminds us of the main thing, because when we get comfortable, usually we get comfortable because there's not been any change. We get into a routine. And what he's saying here is when change comes and it brings challenge into your life, you should be happy because that means that you're going to a new place of growth. It's easy to make comfort the main thing, but we need to make growth the main thing in our lives. I talked about Streams from the Desert, this book that I've been kind of reading and meditating and reflecting on. And there's something that I read this week that so speaks to this concept and idea of growth and change and how it really plays a role in our lives. And so what I want to do is just take a moment to read to you one of the writings that was in here this week. And for me, it kind of resonated for a couple reasons. First of all, I don't know about you, but the first time I think I was exposed to the word metamorphosis was in science class, in thinking about butterflies and moths and how they go from being caterpillar and they go into the cocoon and how they come out a totally different creature. So it's interesting this week that one of the readings in this book was all about a moth. So let me read that to you. It says, I once kept a bottle-shaped cocoon of an emperor moth for nearly 1 year. The cocoon was very strange in its construction. The neck of the bottle
had a narrow opening through which the mature insect forces its way. Therefore, the abandoned cocoon is as perfect as one still inhabited, with no tearing of the interwoven fibers having taken place. The great disparity between the size of the opening and the size of the imprisoned insect makes a person wonder how the moth ever exits at all. Of course, it is never accomplished without great labor and difficulty. It is believed the pressure to which the moth's body is subjected when passing through such a narrow opening is nature's way of forcing fluid into the wings, since they are less developed at the time of emerging from the cocoon than in other insects. I happened to witness the first efforts of my imprisoned moth to escape from its long confinement. All morning I watched it patiently striving and struggling to be free. It never seemed able to get beyond a certain point, and at last my patience was exhausted. The confining fibers were probably drier and less elastic than if the cocoon had been left all winter in its native habitat, as nature meant it to be. In any case, I thought I was wiser and more compassionate than its maker, so I resolved to give it a helping hand. With the point of my scissors, I snipped the confining threads to make the exit just a little easier. Immediately, and with perfect ease, my moth crawled out, dragging a huge swollen body and little shriveled wings. I watched in vain to see the marvelous process of expansion in which these wings would silently and swiftly develop before my eyes. As I examined the delicately beautiful spots and markings of various colors that were all there in miniature, I longed to see them assume their ultimate size. I looked for my moth, one of the loveliest of its kind, to appear in all its perfect beauty. But I looked in vain. My misplaced tenderness had proved to be its ruin. The moth suffered an aborted life, crawling painfully through its brief existence instead of flying through the air on rainbow wings. Just let that sink in. If we aren't open to growth, even when it means change and when change is uncomfortable, we run the risk of living an aborted life. Abortion. Just hearing that word is so electric. Pro-life, pro-choice. People are rallying. People are fighting for abortion rights or for abortion to end. But what I'm telling you is I don't want you to live an aborted life. I don't want you to live an aborted life. Because there's just this place in our lives where we need to lean into uncomfortable change because it's the way that we grow. There's a principle that's just so crystal clear, and it's that we cannot live without growth. We cannot grow without risk. And we cannot risk without pain. So last week I was up there playing with this clay, thinking about the illustration of the potter and me being the clay, and watching my wife do the same. And as I did that, it was amazing. It was just like all these thoughts were just going through my head. Two in particular. One was this. Very much like the creations you saw at the beginning there in the video. In the course of an hour, my wife had made a candy cane. She made a bracelet. She made a flower. She made all of these creative things. And I think at one point in the service, I actually had mine in the shape of a box. Yeah, that was about the limit of my creativity. But I was just struck by that her vision for the clay was so much broader, so much wider than what mine was. I was limited by my thinking, but she was just unlimited in her thinking. The other thing that struck me, and it continues to strike me as I work with this, is after a while, I had blue fingers, blue hands, blue all in my fingernails, my ring. And as I thought about the fact that, okay, if God is in fact the potter and I'm the clay, when he's involved in my life, he is fully engaged in my life, such to the point that at some point I end and he begins. I think that for me was the one that was most powerful, because you see, another benefit that change brings is that change brings us to the end of ourselves. Change brings us to the end of ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Think about 2006. Think about maybe how you're beginning 2007. Why do we still think that we can do this thing called life on our own? I mean, I'll just take my own life as an example. When I look at the data being my past, the data being my experience in life, if I were to summarize it, here's the message that I get. There is a God, but I am not Him. And so if I really want to grow, and if I really want to lean into change, then at some point I've got to admit that I need God to help me. I need to ask God to change me. And here's what's so powerful about that. There's a promise that comes that God, in fact, wants us to ask that question because He's waiting to respond. There's a verse that I first came across in the Bible when I was going through a very difficult change as a young teenager. And it's a verse that I continue to go back to as I think about change in my life, and I just want to share it with you. We've used it here several times before. We sang songs about it. It's in the same book of the Bible that we find that illustration of the potter and the clay in Jeremiah. This time in Jeremiah 29:11, where we find these words. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, the potter's vision for you as the clay is so much broader than what you could even fathom and think. I believe that God has created you for greatness. And I believe that for many of us, if not all of us, we never get to the place of greatness that God has created us for unless we recognize that there are patterns in our life that need to change, that when change comes, it comes to help us grow, and we need to come to the end of ourselves and, like this clay, put our hands in the hands of the potter and say, God, I need you to change me. And there's a song that we sang last week that's a prayer of response. It says, change my heart, O God, make me more like you. You are the potter. I am the clay, and I want you to mold me and make me. And so if that's where you're at today, I want to encourage you to sing this song, and as you sing it, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about that moth. And I want you to think about the places in your life where maybe God is squeezing you right now, maybe pressing you. Maybe there are places where you know change needs to take place, but you're just not ready to go there yet. But God continues to press you. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe this is the year that you really get honest and say, you know what? I have to mature. I have to get to a place where I'm loving my spouse the way God wants me to. Maybe for you, it's school. And you know that if you want to get to the place where God has you, there is an educational barrier there that you just need to lean into. And you don't know how it's going to work. You don't know how all the resources are going to come. All you know is that you're continuing to be pressed to change and to grow in that area. For some of you, it might be this place or a place like it. And you're like, you know what? I don't even know if God is relevant. I don't know what all this means. But you just sense yourself with a press to just come and ask questions. Come and be in a place where you can explore. And maybe this year is the year where God begins to really change you and get you to a place where you start to see the hands of the potter in your life. Wherever you are, if this is what you're feeling, I'd ask that you would sing this song as a prayer. And I want to reinforce, there's a promise on the other side of this. You won't hear it audibly. You won't hear it audibly. It may come through situations. It may come through someone else. But God is saying, yes, you want me to change you? Yes, I've been waiting for you to ask that question. You know what, as we were singing this song, I just got the sense that I need to say one more thing. I talked about marriage relationships, and you know, maybe you're at a place where God really wants to grow you through changing your marriage. And I don't know, this may be for nobody in here, it may be for somebody in here, but if you're not married, maybe one of the things you're struggling with is why you're not married. And maybe the answer has more to do with you putting yourself in the hands of the potter to be changed before you're ever at a point where you can engage in a relationship with somebody from a healthy place. Would you guys pray with me? God, I again know that you are the God of all things new. And I just want to continue to put myself in a place where I say that I'm clay and I want to be molded in your hands, God. I want that for me. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to be about it. And God, I just ask that you would do that in my life and for the lives of everyone here. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what. Two ways that change happens is when you get involved with other people and when you take the opportunity to serve outside of yourself. So check out the Kingdom Kiosk and get plugged into a group or a host, and check out one of the info sessions for Go Mama Lodi. Have a great weekend.